107 FM Talk 106.5 at Mobile Mornings on this Monday. Time to talk to you at 343-0106, 343-0106. Text line, phone line as well. And lots to talk about here from a international level to a state level to a county level this morning. I'd like to hear from you. First of all, the question is, what's next with Iran, and what would the president do? Now, what has happened is not a conventional response, but a cyber response. President talking about that yesterday. Well, I thought he was. Somehow he has the band in the background there. So as soon as we get the band out of the background, we'll be able to get the president's comments. There we go. Let's see. Is this better? We'll go back to that. Yeah, there we go. All right. Now, from the top, let's run President Trump.
You want to talk good, otherwise you can have a bad economy for the next 3 years. Not as far as I'm concerned. No preconditions.
And you'll talk anywhere?
Here it is. Look, you can't have nuclear weapons. And if you want to talk about it, good. Otherwise, you can live in a shattered economy for a long time to come.
You know, that's what I was saying last week, is I think that what we're seeing from the Iranians is the sign of the sanctions working. Mm-hmm. They're acting out because the sanctions are working. The president is going to ramp up those sanctions, so I might not be surprised if the Iranians do something again, but we're seeing that the sanctions are working. The Iranians want to try to gain some sort of purchase, some sort of leverage here to be able to negotiate this. The president also talking about those in his cabinet that would go to war. He said this.
I have two groups of people. I have doves and I have hawks.
Yeah, you have some serious hawks.
I have some hawks. Oh, yeah, John Bolton is absolutely a hawk. It's up to him. He'd take on the whole world at one time, okay?
It's beautiful, and it's that almost makes up for the fact when John Bolton was added into the cabinet there for President Trump, I was rolled my eyes. I said, you know, here we go. President Trump, who had talked on the campaign trail about getting us out of conflicts, and I think that was part of his platform that doesn't get talked about as much anymore, but I think it was important to a lot of folks that said, my goodness, it's about time. Then you have John Bolton added, and you go, oh my gosh, what does this mean? And to hear the president say something is obviously not that he wasn't aware of it, but that he would say it publicly about John Bolton makes me feel a little bit better that he realizes what kind of voice that is, that John Bolton is a neocon's neocon.
It's funny that as much as we talk about how much John Bolton loves to go to war out in the media and in public, I don't feel like I've ever heard a politician, definitely haven't heard a president come out and just be as forthright as President Trump was this weekend with Chuck Todd. But it sounds like he loves to have as many voices as in the room as possible, and he's been pushing back against those pro-strike Iran voices in Bolton and Pompeo.
Yeah, so listen to, and we'll talk about Pompeo and his visit to Saudi Arabia in a second. John Bolton, here he's of course towing the line of the administration, but listen to his voice. Maybe I'm just hearing something of this. John Bolton talk about the sanctions.
The president said, I just stopped the strike from going forward at this time. We expect that the new sanctions President Trump referred to in preparation for some weeks will be announced publicly on Monday. Stay tuned.
Does it not sound like John Bolton is upset? He's reading that. He's like, oh, I guess we're going to do this sanction thing. We're not going to. There's a lot to vet out here. Now, number one, I could turn around and make a complete argument, maybe not a full John Bolton argument, but I would say that you empower a regime like Iran when you don't strike back conventionally, because that is the language they know. Maybe that's the language that their people expect. And if you don't strike back, if you don't hit them in a conventional way, they feel like, okay, I can get away with this, I'll do it again. Mm-hmm. Then again, what causes more damage to the Iranians and maybe would elicit some kind of turnover at the top? I think a cyber... If you do a commiserate strike, remember the president called off that strike because it would involve deaths of human beings.
Right.
And they're going to strike, most likely, if you have a missile battery radar set up that hits our drone, you would then turn around and take out a couple of their missile battery and radar encampment. That's just my guess. Mm-hmm. What would be commiserate? Problem is, there's people there. In the case of a drone, obviously, by definition, unmanned, those installations are going to have people there. You're going to kill them. All right. So the president calls that off at the last minute. Now we strike with a cyber level. If you take it, even if the president hadn't called that off, and you just for argument, and would have taken out that installation And would that how would that have changed the average Iranian's life? Unless you're one of the people that were there, right? Mm-hmm. The Revolutionary Guard or whatever that was became room temperature after becoming very hot.
Right.
There, that's it wouldn't matter. I mean, it would matter. They would get up in arms and all that.
But
it wouldn't change. It wouldn't make you, if you're trying to change regimes or you're trying to have pressure upon those that do not want to play ball. If you strike a missile battery and radar, then what happens? The average Iranian's life doesn't change, but their resolve against the United States does.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They're now, dang those Americans. Because remember, they're already death to America, death to America. So it reinforces the death to America. They killed our brave Revolutionary Guard dudes. And now they're probably more galvanized to back their leader. They're nationalistic. They're going to back their leader. If you go in with cyber espionage, and it just the sanctions and cyber espionage make life a real pain in mm-hmm. Iran. Standard of living coming down, hard to get things you need, hard to make money there. Those kind of things I would just put up for debate, and I'd love to hear from you. Maybe a better tool at eliciting the change we want. We don't want it to, I don't think, except for some people on the text line. We don't want to take over Iran. We don't want to occupy Iran. We don't want to put American boys and girls in Iran securing Iran, do we?
No, okay. I'm sure we don't.
So what do we want to do? We want them not to develop the nuke,
mm-hmm.
right? We want them to be a little bit more responsible world actor. So if you start taking out missile batteries, you start taking out Republican, whatever they are, Revolutionary Guard members, I think that is, yes, that brings up the score and it settles and it shows the top of the leadership that we're going to fight back, but it does not elicit any kind of change from the bottom up, any kind of pressure up, where continued sanctions and in addition cyber espionage and disrupting their systems there has a lot better chance of eliciting some kind of hue and cry from the Iranian people to say enough of this.
Yeah, you know, there are at least four options. I'm sure there's more that I can think of right now. The first would be standing pat, not doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
The second would be what we've already reportedly done, which are the cyber attacks from last week.
Mm-hmm.
Tighter economic sanctions, like you just mentioned, that would be a go-to, or bombing parts of Iran, trying to knock out some of those missile silos. But I found a really, really interesting quote from the Associated Press this weekend. They actually they interviewed a 22-year-old woman in Iran, and it seems like the temperature among the people of Iran, you think that they're all death to America, but a lot of them are placing the toughness right now of their economy, how tough it is in Iran with the economic sanctions. A lot of them are putting that at the feet of the Iranian government.
Remember, they had the Green Revolution. They almost they organized to overthrow the government back during the Obama administration.
They talked with this 22-year-old woman in Iran. She said the economic war is a reality and people are under extreme pressure. She said government leaders, quote, keep telling us to be strong and endure the pressures, but we can already hear the sound of our bones breaking. That was her quote regarding the economic sanctions. Then Iran, even though they had the branch extended to them by the president last week, and they said, no, we intentionally shot down your drone, even though they gave them the option,
mm-hmm.
In a meeting with mm-hmm. defense officials this week, you had, who was it? Rear Admiral Hossein Kazandi from Iran, saying, we confidently say that the crushing response can always be repeated,
crushing
and
response.
The enemy knows it regarding the attack
crushing
on the
response.
Drone.
But, I mean, what you're saying about this 22-year-old woman, If you, and I'm saying the situation may not change by the end of the day to where we have to take military action to even things in that region, but if you're looking at the long-term game and what we want to accomplish, we don't want to take over Iran. We want them to be a little more responsible of a world actor and prevent them from developing nukes. Okay. With that being said, which one elicits the response faster? Is it if you strike them and kill somebody? If think about us as Americans. If somebody hits us and kills our servicemen and women, we're more resolute, even if it was an idea that we really didn't back,
mm-hmm.
okay? If you were somebody, unless you're somebody who is not patriotic, even if you disagreed with the United States going into Iraq, when our troops were killed, troops were injured, you resolve as an American to support what's going on because those are the enemies. Even though you disagree back at home, those are your enemies,
mm-hmm.
right? Same thing I think would be true for people in other places. So if we strike and kill, you know, Iranian troops, that's going to be used as propaganda for the people to be more resolute in standing with their government. If you continue to squeeze them with sanctions and other things we could do from an espionage level, the people will finally go, man, life really stinks with these people at the head. You know, if we could just get rid of them, if we could move them out, whether that be through coup or through voting, right, some effort there to remove the top leadership, then we have a better chance at a better standard of life. And even with the extremist views of the government and some people in Iran, there's enough people, I think, that just want a decent life for themselves and their children. And if they realize that getting rid of these people, it depends on how much control they have, but getting rid of the people at the top, changing the top, could make their lifestyle better. Maybe this is a, I know it's hard to look into and say, well, the normal response is because the people in the Middle East will often, you know, you look around, they only understand force. The Persians, the Iranians are probably one of the more advanced groups there, and the desire to have a lifestyle and a middle class and those kind of things may be more powerful than any kind of weapon that we could bring to bear.
I think we know that. The leaders of Iran know that, and I think that's why they're going to continue to try to draw us into armed conflict. That's what it seems like anyway.
And there are, you know, some people are saying, you know, go ahead and bomb them. Okay, well, call in. I'd like to discuss that. Why is that the better move here? 343-0106. Thank you, Kane. 823 FM Talk 106.5. From the text line, Ben and Daphne says, I appreciate Trump's openness about some of his more controversial advisors and that he's willing to listen to all of his advisors as evidenced by pausing the airstrike. To me, a cyber attack and increased sanctions will hurt much more than bombing a missile site. I kind of agree with you, Ben. Tesher says we should let Iran know we've stepped up our Moab production, which, remember, mother of all bombs. He said stepped up Moab production big time, maybe bigly. All right, so that's just one of the discussions over the weekend about that this will be, the Iranians will take this as a lack of will. This is almost like Obama and the red line. I don't know if you're trying to accomplish, what are you have to ask, what is the goal? Just reacting to every little thing, sometimes you don't make the right decision long term. If the long term decision is to get the Iranians to act right here in this deal, and you want to have some new people in charge, maybe this is a lot more effective. You kill their people, they're going to be more galvanized with their leadership. You make life uncomfortable and the sanctions keep working, and maybe a better chance of changing.
And the president, with his interview yesterday on Meet the Press, he continues to insist that Iran wants to negotiate. That's why he put that branch out there after the drone was shot down last week, where he said, well, maybe it was a mistake made by some Iranian general or something like that. Even though Iran came out and said, no, it was no mistake. You flew over our airspace. Right. And they insist that we were flying over their airspace when they shot it down. But he insists they want to negotiate. I'm not sure. If we did with the cyber warfare attack, we've heard about that here in America, that went down last week, but I would guarantee you that Iran has not told anybody in Iran that we have successfully had a cyber attack.
We have most powerful internet.
And
yes,
the same with the economic sanctions. I'm not sure how long that would have to be in effect, more sanctions, to see the squeeze on your everyday Iranian citizen, how long it would take them to figure that out.
They're already squoze.
Their legs are breaking, according to the quote that the AP got. But they would notice an attack on a part of Iran faster than they would a cyber attack or the economic sanctions. I'm just wondering, with the leadership in Iran, what's their main goal? Do they want to negotiate and have some of these economic sanctions lifted, or do they know what kind of dialogue we have here in the U.S. right now, and will they continue to try to kind of goad us into getting into a battle with them, war?
All right, which is the president has said specifically he does not want to engage in. I bet you the majority of Americans agree with the president on that. All right, here locally today, 10 o'clock, Mobile County Commission meeting. And a question about comments from the county treasurer, Phil Benson. Chad Petrie with more on this story.
Started with a Facebook comment, reportedly made by Mobile County Treasurer Phil Benson. He was commenting on an article about a cake maker sued for refusing to make a cake commemorating a gender transition. Benson's comment read in part, "Freaking queers have gotten too much sympathy, a real abomination."
No politician should hope to gain votes by discriminating against a group of people.
McCain put out a call on Facebook asking for people from the LGBT community to pack the county commission meeting.
I actually have to say, hey, thank you, because you actually, he brought a lot of attention to this that has prompted the need for us to start this conversation and to get our local politicians on board.
She hopes the controversy prompts discussion of the need for some sort of local law that forbids discrimination on sexual orientation.
We don't have equal powers. I mean, we are not protected in this state.
McCain is most well known for her and her then partner's many years long legal fight to have the adoption of their son accepted by Mobile County Probate Court. That led to a federal ruling in 2015 allowing gay marriage in Alabama 5 months before the U.S. Supreme Court's landmark decision. Chad Petrie, WKRG News 5.
All right, so there's the story as it stands, and now this protest slated for this morning at 10. We'll see how many people can show up on a work day at 10 o'clock in the morning. Will that be evidence of people not being interested in this, or will it be the fact that it's a Monday at 10 o'clock in the morning? But should there be language? Should there be laws? I think Birmingham has something in their city code, and Montevallo have it for no discrimination, sexual orientation discrimination. You know, I've often argued that if we didn't talk about those things in every setting, then there would be no reason to know if there would be no discriminatory practice because wouldn't be part of it. But that is part of the reality today. And if you have somebody who was, while engaging in a conversation on a Facebook group, he's an elected official with the county, and therefore comes with that some extra responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I didn't even know Mobile County had a treasurer until this story began popping up last week with his Facebook comments. And they say that there will be a protest today, 10 a.m. Mm-hmm. at the county commission meeting. I'm with you. I don't know how many people will show out 10 a.m. on a Monday morning. And usually when we hear stories about this, the protest doesn't seem to be as big as a lot of people assume it will be. But I don't understand. I guess because it was his own personal Facebook page.
Well, he's in a Facebook group or whatever, yeah, with those comments.
And making comments. I understand. I do think that is an issue, that you have somebody who isn't putting enough thought into their own comments. He had to know that if this guy picked up, that he would be found in the wrong.
Maybe he didn't even think that it would be of issue. He has doubled down. He has not crawfished at all. Mm-mm. You know, usually somebody in this position, they'll start the crawfish and capitulation. Not Phil Benson. He hasn't. He stood by what he said. Is this enough to elicit some kind of law? How would you word the law for this for Mobile County? How would you word that for non-discrimination on that? That people can't say things away from work if they're an elected official. Now you can say, hey, he said that in the next election, somebody may go after him for this, and well, that's how our game's played. But should there be a law that says members of government, because they're there to serve all, can't engage in this conversation? You know, you can make that comment as well. If somebody is an elected official but doing a job, treasurer job, can you say something like this would keep them from being effective, that they would have some kind of bias when doing their job? What do you think? We'll talk about it with you when we get back. 343-0106. 343-0106. It's going to, and it, maybe it moves from here to the next step, or maybe, like you said, maybe it's just not much happens today at the county commission meeting.
Kane, 835 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings on a Monday. And right now it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive, where we talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, Dalton. Good morning.
So I've had plenty of my own bad experiences trying to go out and buy a vehicle, and I know I've heard countless of stories from our listeners here that have had bad experiences buying a vehicle. That's not the case in McConnell Automotive. Tell us why.
Well, buddy, I really hope that people give us a shot, because I've been doing this car business thing my whole life, and my family's been doing it since 1955. And I really just think it's about being transparent. And I think we feel like our success kind of centers around people enjoying the experience and trusting us. It's kind of a different concept. So if people, you know, they call us, they engage with us, come to the dealership, the website, like we talk about, McConnellAutomotive.com, great place to shop. And, you know, if you've had a bad experience and you're listening to this, give McConnell Automotive a shot. We're just a lot different than the average car dealership. We just approach it different, Dalton.
And I know lots of great deals on the lot in McConnell. 0% financing right now on GMC Sierras. Is that right?
Yeah, buddy. It's a little harder to get less than 0% interest.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you get down to zero, there's nowhere else to go. That's a great time to buy. And almost every truck we have on the lot qualifies for that. Great big discounts. And again, man, we just hope people, before they buy anywhere else, give McConnell a shot, and I think they'll be pleasantly surprised how easy it is to get their best deal, buddy.
All right. Thanks, Mitch. Have a good one.
Y'all too, Dalton.
That's Mitch McConnell. Go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive. You'll find him on Dolphin Street just east of I-65.
Right, 836 FM Talk 106.5. Somebody's asking about the protest. Yeah, protest is today at the Mobile County Commission meeting. Mobile County meet on Monday, City Council for Mobile. That's on Tuesday, so today, 10 o'clock. County Commission meeting. We'll see what comes of this, as they're supposedly organized a bunch of folks come down and protest. And what change would it make? Would the county implement something? You know, is this something that's going to be Birmingham, and I don't know if it's the city of Birmingham or Jefferson County. I think it's the city of Birmingham and the city of Montevallo have something. This protest would, of course, be at a county level. Would that motivate the city of Mobile to do anything, or would the county move for it? And what do you think? Is it something that needs to be done, needs to be codified, or is it just, a reaction to a comment that the person who is an elected official, but they made... not sitting at the office. Well, I guess they could have been at the office. Mm-hmm. I don't know when they were on Facebook, but they were on social media platform and said this.
Yeah, and I don't think Benson, that's the treasurer, Phil Benson, I don't think he's going to be walking back his words anytime soon.
No, at least he's doubled down.
Yeah, and what was it? He broke out the Bible last week.
Yeah, Andrew Ramey from PMI reading verses before he would talk to her.
So he's been pretty insistent. And, you know, it is refreshing to see someone who, when a lot of people come after them like this, to not see them cower. I don't understand. I mean, the comment alone where he said freaking queers have gotten too much sympathy, a real abomination. I mean, that might have flown 20, 25, 30 years ago. But in 2019, you can't say that online and not expect some form of words coming back your way from other people, if that makes sense.
Superbomb on the text line says, I cannot believe in this day and age someone would actually post that, knowing full and well the power of screenshotting and reposting. On the flip side, a person can legally burn my American flag due to the First Amendment because freedom of speech. Who gets to decide hate speech is what I want to know. So there you go. Good question. And we'll talk about that with you at 343-0106. Also, one of these latest questions about monuments and names and what's changing in this country. Now, we've seen the debate continue here in the state of Alabama, even though they put this antiquities monument protection law through in the session before last, put that through. Around the country, there's a move to rename schools, especially schools named for Robert E. Lee.
Mm-hmm. That's right. There was an article on the Wall Street Journal that came out yesterday, I think, and they're specifically talking about this school in Texas and Robert E. Lee High School in Texas, where they were concerned about changing the name of the school because they said it would cost $1.3 million to remove and replace signs, redo a turf field, order new uniforms, and make other changes to the school name. So they write here, they decided to rebrand the school Legacy of Educational Excellence which an
acronym
would be.
Oh my gosh, they came up with an acronym for Lee?
That's exactly what they did. So it's still Lee High School. They dropped the Robert E., but they've now called it Legacy of Educational Excellence. And this is
it's at least creative to try to save money for the school system.
But it's taken a life of its own on Twitter, as usual. And this great follow on Twitter, EDSBS, which stands for Every Day Should Be Saturday, he said, "Yeah, welcome to Bruce Lee Elementary School." So if all of the Robert E. Lee schools around the country start changing their names but keeping Lee in the name, are they all going to go to an acronym like we saw that school in Texas? Or will we maybe, I don't know, this is my suggestion, Lee Ermey High School. You could just draw an arrow and add the last name in there. So now people online trying to find good names for high schools that involve the name Lee.
So the idea here is for a school system to save money that is changing the name from Robert E. Lee, that they'll find other Lees.
Yeah, and so that school in Texas that rebranded now, the Legacy...
I would be fired up to go to Bruce Lee High School.
Bruce Lee High School would be really hard to beat. But that school that changed it to... They made it an acronym, Legacy of Educational Excellence, say that they saved about $1 million by keeping Lee on all of their stuff.
Legacy of Education Excellence. It's creative. It's creative. We got any other rebrands, you can let us know at 343-0106. And will the giveaways ever stop, at least the promises of those, as the Democrats try to, you know, compete here in the primary? Who's going to give you more? Bernie Sanders today, it looks like, will unveil a bill calling on $1.6 trillion dollars worth of U.S. student debt to be eliminated. It's one way to buy the youth vote. Washington Post story from the Hill says Washington Post reports Sanders will propose the legislation this morning along with progressive representatives Ilhan Omar and Pramila Jayapal, who are congressional co-chairs of the Congressional Progressive Caucus. The proposal from Sanders adds to the debate over how to address the country's mounting student debt crisis, as the other 2020 Democrat presidential candidates have proposed their own plans. Now, I've been talking about this for years, that this bubble was coming. Mm-hmm. Student loan debt bubble is coming. And the problems, I've pointed out the problems of what I paid as a student at the University of Alabama to what my nephews paid 20 years later, and it more than quadrupled in what it cost to go to school at a state university for people that are from the state. And so we have some big issues. We've talked about the availability of loan money, the fact that it was very available, very easy to get, had the university and colleges probably tempted to raise their tuitions faster. States at the same time stopped contributing what they had to the coffers of those universities, and the money went up. Well, people, especially during the Great Recession, when there were no jobs out there, more people probably went to college than would have if we had had a strong economy.
Hmm.
So now they got student loans, big money out there. And Bernie says, we'll just wipe that off. We'll just go ahead and forgive all that.
You know, a lot of people knew we were going to be in trouble before the Great Recession when, let's say, homes with combined income, $60,000, $70,000 were buying these $250,000 houses. And you're like, how can they afford that house? We should have seen that trouble coming up. Well, me personally, going to college, and they give you a card that all of your money there at the university is on.
Right.
And I was just thinking of so many trips I made to the bookstore here at South Alabama on campus,
right,
where they were even letting kids buy Xboxes and video games with their school money. But you have a kid who at home really didn't have a lot of money,
right,
and he's able to show up in the bookstore and buy $2,000, $2,500 worth of books, and they get an Xbox on top of that, and that's all on loan. Those are all student loans. We should have seen that this would be a problem, and now with so many people just outright refusing to pay those student loans, what are we going to do about all of these people that are in debt?
And it's a problem, but is the right thing that you... I mean, come on. What Bernie Sanders is doing here is trying to outgive the other Democrats. He's trying to... I'll give you even more, is what he's doing, and trying to get the votes. Now, Sanders' plan calls on the federal government to completely clear the student debt of 45 million Americans while also calling for public universities, community college, and trade schools to be tuition-free. Proposal calls for the absolving of student debt for undergrad and graduate students. I would argue, how about the people that have paid off their student loans? They're getting ripped off here.
Yeah.
Here's how they expect they would pay for it. It's a Wall Street tax. that would reportedly raise more than $2 trillion over the course of 10 years would pay for the bill. Sanders says this is a truly revolutionary proposal. In a generation hard hit by Wall Street's crash of 2008, it forgives all student debt and ends the absurdity of sentencing an entire generation to a lifetime of debt for the, quote, crime of getting a college education, end quote. Sanders' plan is more comprehensive. In other words, that's the way I say it's give away more stuff than those of presidential contenders, notably Senator Elizabeth Warren, who earlier this year submitted the first major policy plan aimed at tackling student debt, calling for $640 billion in debt forgiveness. So Bernie's saying, I see your $640 billion, and I raise it to $1.6 trillion. Now who's the most progressive?
And that makes the debates later this week even more interesting, because now you've got Elizabeth Warren, who is actually on the right of a policy put out there from Bernie Sanders. She's going to have to argue why she's not putting out, why she's not going to erase the student loan debt for everybody, only those that make less than $100,000. Bernie putting her in a peculiar situation before the first debate.
So where does this go next? Does the next person wants to get attention say, well, I'm going to forgive that and pick something else, some other debt to forgive. Plus, you know what? We're going to give those people money. We're going to, on top of that, we're going to forgive their debt and give them each $100,000. How about that?
And of course, that makes Joe Biden and the rest of the more center Democrats, they're going to seem like they are far right wing once that question comes up.
So they're going to probably, Biden's going to say, well, I believe in that too. Yeah, whatever the most amount of money, I believe in that too. How the heck would they ever pull that off? Talk to you about that when we get back. 343-0106. Mobile Mornings, FM Talk 106.5. At 852 FM Talk 106.5, and from the text line, thank you, Charlie, said, in addition, there's a car broken down in the right lane of the tunnel westbound. Of course, that'll cause us more traffic fun this morning as we get rolling. Lord knows, it's been like 4 days since we've talked about the bridge and toll and all that stuff. We may get back into that on the midday show starting at noon today. And a lot of texts coming in here as well. Thank you, Chester, suggested on our previous story, Lee Jeans High School.
Even the football team wears Lee Jeans.
That's right. Uniforms would be easy. Kathy Lee Gifford High School, not as popular. Yes, people are coming up with creative ways to rename Robert E. Lee High Schools but not have to change their branding.
That's right. Saves big money.
All right. Dink says, if they erase the student loan, will I get all my money back from my loan? Take it up with Bernie, Dink. Call Bernie and ask. It sounds like a question for him. Oh, somebody suggested Sarah Lee Culinary High School.
They would have the tastiest desserts easily, right?
Terry says, I got a way to save money. How about people not be such whining, thin-skinned, offensive-finding milksops? Not bad use of milksops. I'd say that's a... Milksops may be the word of the week on that.
Good text from an unnamed texter here. What about the families and students who sacrificed and worked multiple jobs? Hold on, just lost off the page. Who sacrificed and worked multiple jobs and took more than 4 years to graduate debt-free? You're going to ignore them and reward those who took on debt that they could not afford to service.
Yep. Part of this is I believe something has to be done about this system. I've been talking about it a long time, that the money has been given. And like you said earlier, the kids buying the Xbox. Yes, you know what? When I was 17 when I started college, I was a kid, okay? And you come from and discipline sounds wrong to people. Let's say a very structured household growing up. Not bad, a great, great childhood. And then given complete freedom and not being, could handle things academically, but not in a maturity level, you know, that it gave me some challenges. Well, the person who goes up there who's given that money, you would spend it. Yeah, of course you would, because you're still a little mush brain. And right. If you can get an Xbox and you want an Xbox, paying the loans down the road. But I'm just talking about the people that didn't even buy the Xbox and just had the student loans at a tuition rate that was driven higher by the availability of the loans to pay the tuitions.
And now all these people that can't. Well, and can't is a word that they use. I'm not sure that every one of these people that has outstanding student loans can't pay them off. They go to the word can't really
quickly. They'd rather do something else.
They'd rather start putting money into their own lives.
Sure.
As they truly venture off into adulthood. And, you know, we're paying student loans off in my household. We're still paying them off. We've got a plan, though, and we haven't missed any of the payments. I've heard stories of people that just refuse to send in any money towards their student loans. And then when you have candidates like first Elizabeth Warren and now Bernie Sanders coming out there and saying, hey, we're going to pay off all of your student loans, it's obvious what they're doing. They're going after that red meat.
Sure. I mean, they're going to promise something, and people will say, people will make as weird as it would be for the idea of progressives and all that, people will make a financial decision. They'll say, if they believe it can happen, then I'll vote for Bernie Sanders because this is the biggest issue facing me. If somebody told you they would eliminate your entire mortgage, if you voted not for idealistic reason but pragmatic reasons, you'd say, okay,
yeah,
that person, we should vote for them. All right, let's go to the phones. Dave is in Mobile. Hey, Dave.
Hey, top of the morning to you.
Remainder of the day to you, man.
Yeah, exactly. Not too much left. You know, I'm not going to talk about all the privileges I exercised when it came to college, but I didn't have any student loans, you know. But my concern is about the financial impact on the United States. Let's say all these people that want something for nothing end up voting Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren in. I'm either afraid or I see an opportunity. I'm afraid that it's going to tank the economy, just like the 2008 crash when people got money for mortgages that they knew they couldn't pay for, like a student loan.
Right.
But seeing the opportunity, can someone steer me to a hedge fund manager that covers the bets on all these, for all the student loan defaults? Because some people made a killing when all the mortgages defaulted, so I'd like to know, you know, what funds to invest in for when the student loans default.
We'll have to figure out what the Big Short is for student loans, like it was for mortgages. Good point. Which, by the way, and y'all know I'm kind of appreciate the call, Dave. I'm a nerd for that kind of stuff. I loved that movie, The Big Short.
I still need to see it.
I love that movie. It kept my attention. I didn't get sleepy. I didn't get wanting to do projects. I watch very few movies because it's hard for me to sit still and do things for a long period of time. But that movie. Great. I thought it was great. Kim says, I'll top that, not only pay off school debt, but pay back former students and make college free, and make all college free the school. You can pay to attend them. Baldwin 5 says, my daughter worked like a dog during the first year after school to pay off her $50,000 grad school loan. Wow. She only took loans for what she needed, worked during the summer. Then after graduation, she worked 3 jobs and other odd tasks as available, sometimes 7 days a week to earn money. She said it was the hardest year of her life, but she paid her student loan debt in full. It can be done, but it seems like everyone wants a handout instead of doing the hard work required. What an impressive, impressive story. You got to be super proud of your daughter. And that would be somebody, if I heard that story as a business owner, I want that person.
Yeah,
I don't
sure.
care what I'm doing, what her degree, I want that person. Jason suggests Geddy Lee High School.
That's pretty good. Geddy Lee would be good. Supermom had a text. She said, I would absolutely dare one of my children to waste student loan money. That should not be allowed to buy video games and consoles at bookstores. That's absurd. But that's exactly what I've seen. And, you know, a story close to home for me, a cousin that I didn't spend much time with through my childhood, we ended up going to the same college at Troy for a couple years. And he was not taught the true value of a dollar growing up. He wasn't taught what's smart to spend money on. And I remember he got a big student loan check one semester and went out and bought a TV. And I'm like, what are you doing, man? You need to use that for school, or at least hold on to the money if you're not going to spend it on school. Pay the debt off easier. But he's one of just thousands and thousands and thousands out there that are irresponsibly using that student loan money.
But even responsible folks are paying higher and higher rates of tuition. The increase in tuition has been way outpacing the inflation or what that job is worth that you get when you get out. So further discussions needed on that, and we'll do it today and every day that we hear from you at 343-0106. Be back at noon.